Welcome to This Andorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network. My name is Steve Rudd.
I'm Kendra Mickles, and we're following the Ewoks from Return of the Jedi to the TV movies, the cartoons, comics, and beyond.
Today, we are discussing Ewoks Comics issue number 8, The Eye of Kreegon. This issue hit the stands on April 1st, 1986.
I was a wee April boy. Fool's Day.
You're not Nick. What's going on here? I thought you sounded different when you know, signed into the call. That was
Nick. I am not Nick.
April Fools, everyone.
We're playing a switcheroo.
And I'm glad because I get my own Nick-free episode with you, just like you got a Steve-free episode with Nick.
Yeah.
That was like 2 years ago. I think that was like 2 years ago or a year and a half or something. In the hospital or something.
I know. Time. Time flies.
Yeah.
All right. You need to do then an episode of 90210 without me, I think, is how we complete the circle.
That would be fun. Yeah. I'll just do it myself.
Person show.
It's like Steve takes the prank just a little bit too far and just does the show himself. I hope you guys don't mind. I recorded it myself.
Yeah. I took the liberty of recording an episode.
Yeah. So, you're going to do.
I'm doing cast and crew, I guess. So, yeah, today we're talking about this issue of Ewoks. I had never read any Ewoks before I read this.
Okay, good.
So good stuff. So this issue was illustrated by Warren Kramer and written by David Menick. Mm-hmm. Those feel like very Ewok names to me. So.
Yeah, I agree, especially David Menick. I don't know. There's just something about it that's like, Menick. Menick is like, they should have named one of the Ewoks like, I'm Menick.
Yeah. This issue was collected by Marvel in the hardcover Star Wars Legends Omnibus Ewoks and Droids.
Legends. That's a, new name for all the expanded universe that they're like, isn't that like the, well, we're going to reverse what we said originally and say that all the expanded universe is not canon and then go, oh, well, we're going to be like, yeah, maybe some of it is. So it's Legends now. Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm gathering. Who knows what's real?
Yeah, I know. It's all canon and it's not canon. All of it.
Believe what you want.
I know, right? That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I just kind of like, you know, if I like the story, I like it. And if I don't, then, you know, I don't. But I actually don't read a lot. It's weird. I love Star Wars so much. But I haven't found a ton of Star Wars that I've enjoyed reading for whatever reason.
I agree. Yeah.
But anyway, under featured cast members here, Warren Kramer, the artist on this issue, would go on to create the character Top Dog with author Lenny Herman for Marvel's Star imprint. Top Dog was a canine secret agent who teamed up for adventures with a kid named Joey Jordan. The series ran for 14 issues, then became the backup feature in the Heathcliff comic book for an additional 22 issues. At time of recording, you could read the whole thing on the Marvel Unlimited app.
Oh, wow. Top Dog, canine secret agent.
Sounds like a good time. Yeah.
Sounds like something my kids would read.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what I have for cast and crew.
All right. So this was your one and only Ewok comic. Like,
yes. And I don't think in any of the other episodes I've been on, I don't think Morag has been a character in any of those episodes.
Yeah. So Morag was actually a character in like the first, she had like four or five episodes in the very beginning of season one. She was kind of like a reoccurring character. And then it kind of like dropped her off. So you would have had to have been a guest early on, which I don't think anybody was. So pretty much everyone missed out on Morag. So I'm glad she's back. And I'll get right into this uber detailed plot of Ewoks number 8, The Eye of the Kreegon. Morag, sworn enemy of the Ewoks, concocts an evil plan to destroy the Ewoks and their village once and for all. She summons a wild storm to descend upon the village as a distraction while her minions steal the eye of the Kreegan. The Kreegan is a dangerous beast that Chirpa's father defeated many years ago. Morag intends to return to the eye to the beast's skeletal remains. Ooh. The storm Morag summons nearly blows Wicket and Nissa off the side of their treetop village. Logray saves them, but an image of Morag looms in the sky and foreshadows the Ewok's doom. Chirpa discovers that during the storm, the Eye of the Kreegan was stolen. Morag's minions successfully return the Eye to Morag. Back at the village, Chirpa vows to stop Morag and defeat the beast and sets off alone to Morag's lair. Logray's crystal image spinner activates and reveals to the three of them that Morag inserts the eye into the skeleton of the Kreegan, and when she does, it revives and reforms back into the terrible Kreegan. Seeing this, Nissa sets off to help her father with the help of Wicket, but not before Logray sends them with an amulet that should help protect them from Morag's powers. Chirpa confronts Morag and the beast. His spear has no effect on the large beast as long as Morag's magic protects it. Instead of telling the beast to eat Chirpa, Morag binds him in vines so that he alone is left while the Kreegan leaves to destroy Bright Tree Village, killing all the Ewoks. Nissa and Wicket discover the massive trail the Kreegan makes. They realize it's heading for the village. They backtrack on the trail and find Chirpa. They free him and hurry off to catch up to the beast. They discover the beast near the village and attempt to distract it, which won't work while it's under its spell, until Nissa throws her amulet at it. The explosion the amulet creates drops the command spell, and the beast turns and heads towards them. They lure the monster into a nearby molten sulfur pit, but that only causes the beast to slow down, as it is still invincible while under Morag's magical protection. Chirpa thinks quickly, and he, Nissa, and Wicket head back to Morag's lair. With the Kreegan hot on their heels, Chirpa quickly begins to goad Morag. In her anger, Morag lashes out to destroy the Ewoks, but in a flash, they leap away, and the destructive blast from Morag's staff strikes the Kreegan instead, destroying the eye, causing it to revert back into a skeleton. The massive clump of bones crash down on top of Morag. The Ewoks quickly take that moment to gather their Bordocks and ride away to safety, but not before Chirpa makes a terrible dad joke only a reader could appreciate. Roll credits.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. So what do you think? You've seen Ewok episodes, and now you've read a comic. I'm curious how you feel, like...
It feels very... on par to me, like same level of like mischief and, you know, same kind of stakes going on.
Yeah.
Same, you know, bad jokes thrown in there. Some cute animals, which I feel like I comment every time, like the Bordocks, I really enjoyed those. Yeah. They were quite cute. So yeah, it felt like an Ewoks thing. It felt like if you like the show, you'll probably like this.
We talk about this all the time, that like, I feel like this would have been a great episode. I think it would have been fun. Yeah, I don't think it would have been a fun episode. We even get like, we get the Bordocks, which I guess that's what Baga is, a Bordock, I guess. I guess I didn't, Baga is like a reoccurring like animal friend that's kind of like a horse / cow / unicorn type. I'm not really sure. It's something. It's just an alien. It's like an alien pony, basically. Ewok pony.
Right, yeah.
And so I guess Baga is a young Bordock. So that makes sense because they ride. I was just like, oh, that kind of looks like Baga. Interesting.
Yeah.
But we also get new little minions. So Morag had minions in the show, which were much more terrifying than these little pinkish, purplyish guys, which were great, that because they had their own like little conversation of like, you know, and I'm like,
yeah.
I was actually reading it to my daughter, and I just, she's like, what does that say? And I was just like, well, it doesn't actually say anything, it's just a bunch of sounds. And I just like, you know, I did it, and she just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it was just like, that, you know, the writers just wrote that in there. They didn't need to do anything, you know. They could have just made, you know, no noise, But yeah. I thought that was a little fun that they had their alien speaking parts.
Yeah. So kind of like great. The minions in Despicable Me with their exactly. little language. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do we know why Morag doesn't like the Ewoks? Like, what's her beef with the Ewoks?
Yeah, we do find out a little bit in one of the earlier episodes. Morag really doesn't like the Ewoks because of Logray. So her and Logray have like some ancient beef with each other, and that's where it comes from. So she truly is, of all the characters, of all the bad guy characters in Ewoks, she is like the arch nemesis of Logray, who's the shaman. He is the village. Yeah.
She's the Saruman to his Gandalf.
Yes. Actually, that's perfect. Yeah. And so I'm glad they brought her back in this. What is this, number 8? And it's just like, geez, like Morag would have been. We always agreed that like Morag was probably the best antagonist because she was reoccurring. Because she, you know, actually did, you know, wasn't like, oh, I'm going to capture an Ewok. And then like the villain would just like fumble around trying to catch the Ewok. No, she would catch them, you know, and then something would, you know, and then somebody would save them or something would happen or they would learn something early on in the episode and then apply it later on. I think the formula of those episodes worked really well, whether they were good episodes or not. I feel like the first couple were good. Yeah, like she's a great character, and I kind of wish that like now more of the, you know, more of the comics were revolved around her, you know, or they did like a two-parter where she did win in a way, and in the, you know, the second parter the Ewoks eventually win, you know, but she's great. I mean, she's brought up in a lot of stuff, and so I'm glad you got to experience her.
Yeah, I like to imagine that she just kind of pops into the sky all the time to like taunt them and troll them and like just, you know, mess with them, like, haha, I'm watching you.
But she is probably the more evil of the villains, because she's like the evil, then the Duloks are like the dopey evil from the show, and then the Ewoks are the true good. So you get like a mixture of, like, you know, the Duloks kind of soften the blow of Morag being so evil, you know, kind of. Yeah. So like, but yeah, like I like this comic, this number 8. It felt like an episode to me. It actually felt really long reading it. I don't know, compared to the other ones. I'm not even sure the length, but I was just like, wow, this is like feels like a good long story going on here. It's like it felt like a whole lot. And, you know, I started writing the synopsis, and when I write a synopsis, I try to do these series in like 3 paragraphs, one for each, like, because they're all of them are 3-parters. This one, I was like on paragraph 3, and I'm like, oh man, I am still in the first book. Like, there's a lot going on, you know? And and so that to me, like, usually is like a sign of like, there's good stuff, because sometimes the comics, there's a lot of like wasted rolling around, fumbling, fighting each other. Somebody hits somebody, they hit another person, something falls on them, they all run away. And it's just like pages and pages of that. And you can't write about it. I usually, there might be 2 pages, 3 pages of like a battle that happens. And I just write, and a battle ensues.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go on and it's like, that's it, you know? And a battle ensues and Wicket wins. That's it. You know, there was 3-4 pages worth of stuff going on. And so this one felt like there was just a lot of information, which I liked, because that made it, I think it made it more fun. My daughter really loved it. So,
yeah, I think I might enjoy Ewoks more in comic book form than in watching form. It's just, I feel like it lends itself well. It feels like those, you know, like goofy, almost like Sunday comics that you would read. Like, it feels like it has that vibe to me, or like, you know, like not the Garfield vibe, but kind of the Garfield and Friends vibe. I don't know. So I enjoyed reading it on the Marvel app.
Oh, ooh, you read it? Oh, nice. That's right, because you're not invested like we are.
I don't. Oh. Yeah, I haven't purchased the omnibus.
So what do you think about the color palette of
I didn't really think about it much.
Okay.
Actually, but I liked it.
Oh, that's good. It does have a very era look to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's funny, like one episode I went back and I was like, man, Wicket looks different this comic. And I went back and like sometimes like Wicket and Tebow are two different characters, and sometimes their colors are like swapped.
Oh.
Or like he's a brown, I mean like a soil brown, and then sometimes they're like a burgundy brown. And then sometimes they're like a more khaki tan brown. And so I just remember being like, wow, Wicket was really dark looking. Like, did you notice? And Nick's like, oh yeah. And then we like go back and I was like, man, they're all sorts of colors.
Yeah, just to keep you confused.
Different colorers, but you know, that's like it's different artists all telling.
Right.
Similar. So you get the different colorist and you know, one does it darker. One's more heavy-handed with the browns, one's more heavy-handed with the tan, you know, that's all. So it's interesting, but you get that variation in there, and only because we have the omnibus were we able to see that, because I was like, man, it's flipping through, and you could see it right away, like.
Right, yeah.
Some, some comics are very dark and rich in colors, and some have more of the, like a pastel look, so.
Right, yeah.
Pastel tan, does that, no.
Yeah, you know, sure.
They're washed out. Yeah, yeah. It looks, the difference between like paint and watercolor. That's kind of what it looks
right.
like. Right. I'm not an artist. Yeah.
I think that, yeah, that's a good description.
So we do an O Kvark and an Ichiwawa moment. I know you remember that. So your O Kvark is the negative. What do you think was your O Kvark moment from this issue?
I think I've got to give it to the dad joke at the end, because it wasn't even good. It was like, and they were just like, oh, laughing.
It felt so forced. I had to like read the first blurb a few times. Because
I
like,
did as well. I had to go back and be like, did you just make the same joke twice? Or yeah. like,
and then I noticed, oh, they spelled it like,
yeah, it's,
and then. The witch, like more like the witch.
It's
and I was
really
like,
only a funny joke if you can read the words. It's not it. A funny joke to say out loud. So, yeah. That was a groan.
That was my O Kvark moment as well. there was not much. Actually, there was one thing. Before the dad joke, which was like the last two frames,
mm-hmm.
It was the molten sulfur pit. And I thought, how is sulfur molten? Is that actually a thing? Like, does sulfur
see,
get
I didn't
molten?
Even think, I don't even know stuff like that. I'm like, sure, molten but, sulfur, of course.
But it's like, they're in the forest, and it's just like, what do? Why don't we use that molten sulfur pit right there? You know, it's like, what's this?
Yeah, I would imagine it's very stinky around there if they have a molten sulfur pit nearby.
Stuff would be like dead around it, but there's like gas leading right up to the molten sulfur pit. I'm like, the gases would literally kill everything.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
So that to me was like, I was like, ah, it's so dumb, because I do this with Nico. I always have something to complain about, and that was just, I was just like, that one to me is like, if nothing worse is the molten sulfur pit, I'm going with that. And then the dad joke, and I was like, oh man, that was so bad. So yes, yeah. I agree. What about Ichiwawa moment? What was your favorite part of it?
Well, the cover, the monster is like all bones. So when mm-hmm. she puts the eye in and it like turns back into a real monster, I was like, oh, whoa. They're not just going to be fighting a skeleton. This is like a for real monster again.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'll give it to. I thought that was a good moment.
I thought that was cool too, and I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Too, I was expecting it just to be animated bones, but like
yeah.
skin and everything. I was like, oh, that's good. Mine was so one thing that happens a lot is the kids. It's funny, they'll be like, the world is going to blow up or be destroyed or die. Send the kids to solve the problem.
Yeah, of course.
So this time was finally like, oh, Chief Chirpa's good. Don't worry, everyone. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to do it myself, because that's what the kids do. They're like, oh, no one can go do that. And at night they're like, let's go do it ourselves. And then they save the day, or they mess up and then they end up correcting their mess up, which saves a day, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, for this time, it was the first time that Chief Chirpa was like really heavily involved. Hmm. And so I thought it was really cool that that happened. So it was Chirpa. And we always talk about too, that like, there's the four kids. There's Wicket, Nissa, Tebow, and Latara. And sometimes the comics will only focus on like two characters or three of the four. And I'm not sure if we've gotten like a full cadre of the characters yet in one. We may have. It happens so infrequently because it's usually like Wicket and Tebow, or, you know, Tebow and Latara, or Wicket and Wicket and Nissa kind of thing. So it's just the comics only focus on the two of them. So this was nice to have like Chief Chirpa looped into that focus. But one thing that I thought was really cool too is like my second Ichiwawa moment was that they were very intuitive when it came to, they discovered the trail, and they were like, man, the trail is heading to the village, which means my father didn't stop him. Let's backtrack and we'll probably find my father. I was like, whoa, that's a great idea. You know, instead of like going and, I mean, obviously they caught up. So if they caught up, they probably could have passed it, let's be honest, and warned people. So they had the possibility of like, let's warn everyone or let's get my father. And they chose to go get her father, which actually ended up being the best thing they did. But I thought that was really intuitive, like, if it's going that way, then let's go this way.
Yeah.
Great idea, kids. They're, you know, like,
logic.
They're growing up, so that's great. That's great. So how many yub nubs would you give this? Yub nubs are 1 through 5.
Okay. I wondered at how many was the maximum. You know, I only have the show to compare it to, and, you know, other... That's really the only other Ewok stuff that I know. So I think I would give it like a 3.5, I'll say.
Good. Yeah, for me, it was like I'd say like a 3.75 or even 4 maybe. Because it was, there wasn't much that I did not like. I thought it was very basic, but I enjoyed it. There was nothing that I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Morag was probably the most exciting thing for me about it, but I'm not going to bump it up just because of the return of one character, you know, but like, it, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe 4. I think I could confidently say a 4. Cause I feel like I've done things 3.5 that like, I was like, I didn't really like it, but like this one was good. Didn't wow me, but it also didn't, nothing I was just like, oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's impossible. How'd they do that? You know, there's been comics and episodes before this where we're like, yo, this was really bad. Like, this was a two, you know, like, so this was, I thought it was fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it because.
Yeah, I agree.
It was your first comic. Now you get the both of them. So it's great.
I know. Now I feel like I should just go through and read all of them. How many are there? Do you know how many issues?
Oh yeah, there's 14.
That's a nice little run.
Yeah, and they're good. I mean, they're fun. Some of them, some of them are like, you know, that was pretty basic. Like the ones I've told you, where there's like 3-4 pages of just an unblurred battle.
Yeah.
I'm glad this one was good. You know, I think I would prefer it to be an actual episode. I think it would have been fun to have the Kreegan stomping around the forest. That would have been fun. All right. We got a good 3.5 and a good 4. I like it.
Yeah. So next time we'll dive into the Droids comic book with issue number 1, The Destroyer.
Ooh. So do you really think anything's going to be destroyed next episode? I don't think so, but we'll see on the next
episode.
So if Nick is not here, what is he doing with you then?
Well, if you miss Nick, you can hop on over to 90s Music Got Me Like, and he is going to be over there talking about Return of the Mac with Eric.
Ah.
So, or no, with me. He's going to be talking about it with me. Wait, we're so switched around. I can't remember who's doing what. But then Eric is going to be talking 90210 with Nick. So
that's it. Okay.
Yes.
Right. I knew it was.
I was like, I know they're doing something together.
April Fools has got us all discombobulated.
We are all turned around.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That should be fun. All right. Kendra, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Yeah. Well, until next April Fools. Oh, we'll have you on the show again, I'm sure.
Yeah, surely.
not till next year. That's not fair. Well, I'll see you again. I'll see you around.
All right.
This Endorian Life was brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, previously on X-Men, and 90210 Here We Go. Share your thoughts on this and upcoming episodes by following us on Facebook or X at Endorian Life. And please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.